Hey, this is Otacon. You're listening to This Week in Geek with Mike the Birdman Dodd and the rest of the Twig crew right here on thisweekingeek.net. Are you listening? Snake? Snake? Snake!
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. This Week in Geek. This Week in Geek.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to This Week in Geek, and I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. Well, guys, it is the first interview, holy shit, of 2015. And we're going to go back to my roots a little bit. We're going to talk about video games today, but this is not the prototype as you hear. I'm not joined by my ever lovable and usually sexually confused co-host, Jamie Johnston. He's going to hit me for that one, but hey, he might not listen to it, so ha ha! Anyway, what I found out recently is there's this awesome documentary that was filmed a little while ago, and these guys are just finishing up their Kickstarter, which you can pre-order this thing for. I'm talking about Nintendo Quest, which is an unofficial Nintendo and NES documentary, and what the premise of this is, there's one guy, turns out he's actually kind of local to me, he has 30 days to grab all the NES games that were ever released. Now, the rules were, as I understand, he has to collect 678 licensed NES games. They can only be from North America retail. Nothing specialty, like, say, Blockbuster Surprise at Dinosaur Peak, I think it was. You can't buy anything online. This guy's stuck spending his own money. I'd love to see how much this costs. And it's 30 days. No extensions, no breaks, one shot. Does he do it? Well, I'm fortunate enough to actually have the director and producer, Rob, and also the man whose journey that was filmed, Jay, with me on the line right now. Guys, welcome to the show.
Mike, how are you?
This is awesome. I'm excited. I love the energy. Let's talk.
That's right. All right, guys. So, as someone who's kind of studied film before, I went to college a couple years ago for this. What prompted you guys to try and film something like this? Because I see a lot of web series, like, say, The Game Chasers or Pat the NES Punk, kind of film going to flea markets and finding games. What kind of made you guys come together to try and put together something feature length about essentially game chasing?
I think last time I fielded this question, Rob, so you can take this one.
Sure. Well, Mike, it's pretty simple. We first and foremost didn't want to do just another pickup video. We knew that it would not be beneficial for us to do something that millions of people around the world do and just put up there. We wanted to do something that was more of a statement, not only with what Jay is doing with this challenge that, you know, was part of a dare that I threw at him, but also a chance to really explore the one company and the one system that forever changed the landscape and created a ripple that is still affecting the gaming industry nowadays. So why do one thing when you can try to do it all in a 90-minute complete professional feature film instead of, you know, just going to the local swap meet with, you know, your buddy holding a camcorder? So, and that's nothing against that stuff. Obviously, we're huge fans of all that, and you can see the homages to that even just within our trailer. But we wanted to do something that was on a different level, and that's where the true documentary sense comes into this.
So when you guys began kind of planning this, obviously this is a humongous undertaking because, as far as I understand, Canada occasionally sucks for retro gaming, which is a sad truth, unfortunately.
That depends how you look at it, Mike. There's a whole bunch of things that you can say, but it depends on how you look at it. There's silver linings to everything. You go ahead. What's the next part of the question? Let's go. Woo!
The next part of the question is, when you guys decided to take on the whole United States pretty much over these 30 days to find all these games, what was the strategy? How did you guys plan this out?
I'll jump in on this one, Jay, since I was part of the planning team.
Absolutely, man. Yeah.
Well, we knew we couldn't do corner to corner to corner to corner of the U.S. We knew we had limited days and how long it was going to take to drive from city to city and how many stops we could hit within each city. And it's not just Jay going into the stores, grabbing the games and going. We're filming this. And it's a two-camera setup. There's a six-person crew. We have a producer. We have two camera people. Boom. And we're all in a minivan. So when we get to a store, there's 15 to 20 minutes of us setting up the shots and the angles in there. And Jay waiting outside, not knowing what's in the store. So when I give him the green light to come in, we're filming everything fresh and we're capturing his reaction so it's all realistic. And sometimes we're driving 12 hours and he doesn't want to pay the price for what's in the store, or there's nothing that he needs that's in the store, or that they have too much and it's going to take longer than the time allotted in there because we got to get back in the van, drive another 12 hours and get to the next destination. So the ticking clock was the biggest determining factor in where we went, how long we spent there, and how the rest of the journey played out.
So where did you guys start this? Like, basically, what state was the kind of genesis point for this?
Okay, so I'm going to throw at this one again, Jay. We started in Jay's hometown, which is where I'm from originally, to London, Ontario, Canada. We also hit Toronto and Brantford, Ontario. And then we went to Buffalo, Du Bois, PA, Pittsburgh, Columbus, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, and Detroit on the first road trip. And then we had to go back to London because Jay had to do some work because he works for a living. He didn't get to take a month of his life off. So we would have to hunt after his 9-to-5 stuff or before it. And then on the second road trip, again, we started in London. Then we went to St. Louis, Oklahoma City, Dallas, Austin, Houston, back to Oklahoma City, and then a couple stops on the way up through Indiana.
So while you guys were kind of hunting for this, because you mentioned you filmed this back in, you said 2013, right?
Yeah, summer 2013, we launched our initial Kickstarter campaign at the end of May. It ended at the end of June, and then we had our production funds. We were successful. That's when NBC first covered us. That's when CBC Radio 1 first covered us. We went to Comic-Con, filmed with some people there. Then I flew to London and started the process of interviewing Jay and getting the character stuff. Who is this guy? Where does he come from? And then the 30 days started early August of 2013.
So with that year in mind, and this question is towards you, Jay, what was it like with the collector's market going up and down for NES titles, some titles going up in price, some titles going down in price, did you find it difficult to hunt during this year, or was it a lot easier in years previous?
For NES specifically, no. I've found personally it's become more difficult as the retro gaming scene continues to grow. A lot of the big name titles are just that, and they're only increasing in value and becoming more rare. So I did find it quite a bit more difficult. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, because you hunt in southwestern Ontario, as I'm from just north of you up towards the Orangeville area, how would you call the Canadian retro gaming scene? I call it kind of sucky because it's really hard to find things, or you find gold mines and they dry up super quick.
Well, there's a few great stores in London that I actually frequent quite often, and they're always freshly stocked, which is nice. ANC in Toronto was a great store that we went to a number of different times during the shoot. And I think the community is doing nothing but growing. There's a lot of great guys that we've met at the Waterloo Game Swap, Com Bravo, that are kind of doing their own thing. And I really see that the Canadian retro community is starting to become something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. With the Canadian retro community, or at least the kind of hunting scene, are there any kind of trends in games that you notice that maybe are being found more often up here as opposed to down to the States? Like, maybe did we get lucky with a DuckTales 2 or a Chippendales Rescue Rangers or something like that?
They're I don't know how to answer that.
I'll jump in, Mike, and say that the one thing both Jay and I noticed as we traveled from state to state, community to community, was that prices vary drastically. Mario Duck Hunt will be $2, say, in London, because it's a very common cart, but in Austin, it's $15.
Yeah, Mike, sorry, it's really tough for me to comment on stuff like that. I really have to be careful with what I say, that I don't give anything away. So,
oh, of course,
that's
of course.
What. For yep. for the game stuff, I really have to be calculated with my answers, so I apologize for that.
Oh, the other thing, Mike, because you're asking about what we thought of 2013, there's one thing I should definitely note for you, man, and that's we don't talk a lot about prices whatsoever in the film because we don't want the emphasis to be on the value of the game because that would date it in a heartbeat because, like you said, prices are going up and down, so it's really much more focused on the challenge that Jay has, the ticking clock against him, and the obstacles that come in the way. One of the obstacles is of course, the money he has. It's represented with a little cash meter that's on the screen, so you will see the cash meter drop with different purchases and throughout the days with his spending, but we don't really go out of our way to say that this game is worth this much or that game is worth that much. Because it really, it's not about what the game's worth. It's not like Jay's going to sell it. This is his lifelong dream to go after and attain a complete NES collection. So to focus on the economics would really skew the thematics of the film.
Of course. So, all right, Jay, here's a better question for you. What were your must-have titles? Like, for example, if I was doing this for myself, I would immediately go after the Mega Man titles.
I had a few in mind. I don't know, Rob, if you want me to say.
Yeah,
you know.
We set out very, very specifically in the film what Jay's top 20 were. So we're going after 678 games in total, but we draw the viewer's attention to the top 20 games for him that he wants to tick off and he'll feel better about. So, Jay, you can name some of those titles. They shouldn't come as a surprise.
Okay, yeah. I wanted the big ones. So, of course, Stadium Events was the top of the list. Little Samson, Bonk's Adventure. Those three were the top. Panic Restaurant. I really, really wanted the really elite rare ones. That's what I was focusing on, whether it be right or wrong. That's how I wanted to do it. So in the film, you'll see that the top 20, which Rob and I compiled, and I believe to be the rarest North American NTSC top 20. So those ones.
Now, prior to this documentary, what did your NES collect, or basically what does your video game collection look like before filming started?
My NES collection specifically, I had about 110 games, but right off the bat we made it crystal clear, Rob made it crystal clear within the rules, that I could not use those 110 whatsoever. So I started at zero. So I did have a couple of big gems in my collection. I had, you know, Mighty Final Fight. I had, as you said, Mike, the entire Mega Man series. And I found some of the most difficult to buy again because I already knew they were at home. But to make this legit and to make it the entire set, I had to repurchase a lot of those.
Before filming, as you mentioned, you had about of those 110 or so. What was the rarest one you found and where? Because I saw someone pick up a Panic Restaurant at a flea market for $5.
So just to clarify, you're asking, like,
pre-filming,
yeah. What is a crazy, like, NES game find story that Jay had?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that would be the Mighty Final Fight cart that I got at a store, which I will not name, because I casually walked in. And it was just sitting there, and I pretended like it was just another Capcom game. I kept my cool, and how much is that? I think I said, like, how much is that Mega Man game or something? Because they share similar, you know, cover art. And the person at the time, you know, maybe didn't know what they had too much. Like, you know, $5-$10. I'm like, okay, well, I might take that one. And all the while, I'm trying to, you know, control my giddiness. But was a good story.
So, in other words, you caught them slipping.
I did. I caught them slipping. Yes.
Oh,
popular
man.
Term. Yes.
I love that when you go into a game store, because that's the thing. You can't overplay your hand when you know they've got something awesome. That's a strategy all of us game hunters use.
It's kind of weird, right? Like, it's kind of like the kid buying condoms for the first time. He wants the condoms, and then he'll buy a chocolate bar, and he'll buy a magazine just to, you know, hide the thing that he really he's going after, so it's not awkward when it's time to check it out. It's about hiding and keeping your...
I really learned during the filming of this, Mike, to
poker
really
face?
Really build up my poker face, and I've become really good at that now. So,
so when you were out on the road filming this, what were some of the strange happenings that happened, as often weird things do end up happening on film shoots?
Jay, I'll let you take this one away, man. These are always fun, and I like hearing them more from your perspective than mine.
Well, we shot with a bunch of great celebrity gamers and heroes that Rob and I have grown up idolizing. One of them was Mr. Ben Gold, who is one of the first professional gamers and the first televised champions. I'm sure you know who Ben Gold is. Mm-hmm. We met him in Texas, and a friend of his had a couple of people that were interested in selling NES games to me. So we're like, good, we'll kill two birds with one stone. We'll meet Ben, and then we'll go to this house and get a couple of great pickups. Well, we got there, and really quickly, it was kind of like out of the scene of Rob Zombie's movie The Devil's Rejects. I mean, it was very odd, and Rob, I don't want to say the wrong thing now, so you set up the description like yesterday.
Well, let's just say you walk in there and immediately it's tense, like somebody's not getting out of here alive. There's nothing but people staring at you. Ben Gold has somehow promoted you as to be this world-class expert. And you know there's a thickness in the air, like something supernatural is about to go down, and you might get ritually sacrificed in the backyard if you don't play your cards right.
So they had their games, and I glanced over them really quickly. They're all laid out on the kitchen table, and right off the bat, I knew there was nothing I needed. And they're like, oh, what about this one? And they hold up Zelda, the gold Zelda cart. And I'm like, no, I got Zelda. No, thank you. They're like, oh, but this one's worth, like, what do they say, like 30,000 or something like that?
What?
Yep.
And I'm like, no, that game's worth about $20. And they're like, no, 30,000, we saw it. And I'm trying to explain, you might have seen a graded one on eBay, factory sealed or something, for that price, but Zelda is not worth. And as soon as I said that, the room just turned cold. And
colder.
Very silent. And Rob and I just looked at each other and were like, yeah, we should probably get out of here. And it was just really weird, and there was quite a few situations like that, but that's one of my favorites that sticks out anyway.
I'm telling you, Mike, it went from when Jay said no, that game's worth, like, you know, 10 or 20 bucks depending on who you're talking to, and a guy in the background, pretty big guy, all of a sudden walked out of the room, through the
slammed the door,
slammed the back door. It was like, wow.
Because I don't know if these guys thought that they were going to be making a lot of money off me or something, but
like the whole family was there, like with a lottery ticket, it seemed. They just had to make sure their numbers checked out. And then when we told them that those numbers weren't what they thought they were, it was time to get out of there and do it politely.
And you got to appreciate, Mike, the gravity of the situation. Rob and I just met Ben, who's a personal hero of ours. We just met him. So I'm trying to get over the fact that I'm standing beside Ben Gold at the time I'm trying to deal with this odd family. So quite the situation.
So suffice to say, you ruined the Manson family's retirement plan.
You or, said it, not me.
Yeah, and motivated them to continue killing.
Oh, my God, that is funny. And I always love when people overvalue items that they had. In fact, my mother-in-law was convinced a Nintendo she had was equally worth $30,000 because she saw it on Pawn Stars or something.
Well, there was that episode where Pat actually brought in his NWC carts, and I remember.
And they tried to lowball him on it several times.
Yeah. So it might have been that episode. But, yeah.
So when you guys were out there hunting, what's probably one of the best moments that you can reveal from the filming? Like, was it just getting home after everything was done? Was it after
taking
the fine?
Finishing the 30 days. Oh, man, was that nice. what was one of your favorite moments?
My favorite moment, hands down, was meeting Todd Rogers, who was, again, a gaming hero of mine, like I've said 30 times in this interview. But meeting him and getting to hang out, I always use the analogy, the sports analogy, where if you're a hockey fan, it's like getting to hang out with Wayne Gretzky for a day. That's what it was like. So we picked up Todd. He flew in from Florida to Texas, and Rob and Jordan, our producer, picked him up at the airport. And of course, you know, you got to catch my reaction on camera. So I had to stay in the parking garage and wait. And as soon as I met him, I was like very nervous, of course, because it's Todd Rogers. And then 2 seconds after I shook his hand, he pops in with the jokes, and he fit in with us so well that shortly after the shoot, he was, you know, calling us his family and stuff, and we're still friends to this day. So that's by far my favorite.
That is fantastic to hear, just the kind of connections that can be made, especially when you're going out to fulfill a life dream. I mean, either success or failure, you've made a relationship that could potentially last a lifetime. And that's something kind of special, actually.
And a guy of that magnitude, too, you know, no ego whatsoever. The things he's done are just incredible in gaming. No ego, just one of the guys. You know, we're like, okay, we pick you up. We're going to take you out to eat somewhere. Where do you want to go? He's like, I don't care. We'll just go get some pizza. It's like, okay. You know, it's just down to earth.
So now that filming has concluded, you guys are in post-production. What are some of the things we can expect to see on the DVD and some of the special extras for the Kickstarter backers?
Well, I mean, we're not even just in post-production, Mike. We're pretty much done. I only need to get one more version of our 5.1 surround mix. We're done. This is, you know, screening in June, and we're sending this out to distributors already. We have deals that are being presented to us, so this will be eventually available on iTunes and Hulu and Amazon and all your digital platforms. And the current Kickstarter campaign that we're doing is just to give folks a chance to get a DVD or Blu-ray in their hand, on top of other things that, of course, we can cover down the road that are really exciting. So distribution is in full effect, and it's just a matter of signing on the dotted line, and the film is done. As far as bonus features, anybody that is on our Kickstarter campaign knows that they are potentially getting a 3-disc set. So you're going to get the film on one, and then 2 full discs that are going to be chocked full of days that are in their full entirety that were cut down for the sake of the film, days that were left out, extended interviews, and just some behind-the-scenes stuff of, you know, Jay and I hanging out and, you know, doing what you do on the road. I mean, you ask about like one clear moment of the filming, and Mike, I got to say, it's the whole thing that was great. Living, eating, sleeping, breathing, game hunting, and movie making with your best friend who you've known for over 30 years. It doesn't get better than that.
So now that the NES challenge is, well, I guess we'll find out whether it was completed or not in June. Have you considered doing anything else, like say Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis?
Jay?
Yeah, this is probably, besides the question, did you do it? This is probably the second most asked question we get. We've got a lot of things in the works. I can't say for certain what it is. There's definitely good things down the pipe, though. And if this movie warrants a sequel, then, of course, we're going to explore that. The problem we have right off the bat is Rob and I believe that there is nothing to the magnitude of the NES that would translate in the same capacity. Like doing a 2600 hunt or a Super Nintendo hunt, I believe doesn't have the same kind of gravity.
Fair enough. So regardless, we're going to expect good things out of you guys in the next little while anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah, one of the things, Mike, I mean, I don't know how much you've checked out our Kickstarter, but we had a stretch goal of $25,000 and we hit it. And that was to create an NES game on NES hardware, an actual cart, to create a game based on the premise of the film. So now Jay and I are teaming up with a bunch of known game developers and we're creating a game about collecting games.
That is, I need to find money to get in on this. I'm going to ask
you. Better hurry, because right now we got 30 hours, man. And on Kickstarter right now, there are reward tiers that let you be in the game, Mike.
Guys.
Be in the game. $50 right now. If you pledge $50 or more, not only do you get a copy of the film in one variation, but that you also secure a game. Our next stretch goal is going to fall. We're less than $1,000 away, and that gets you a map and an actual game manual. So if you pledge $58, you'll even get an NES box, the 3-disc set, a copy of our 8-bit soundtrack on audio cassette, no pencil included. Telling you, Mike, jump on board, buddy.
I am hoping you handwrite every NES soundtrack with pencil or something. Guys,
join the 8-bit army.
I got to say, I'm really looking forward to seeing when this comes out in June. So hopefully you guys will be coming to a place near me. Actually, where are some of the places you guys plan to screen this summer?
I'm so glad you asked, Mike. Let me tell you, we're going to be starting the screenings off in Las Vegas and Beverly Hills in late June. And then we'll also be showing the film in Austin, Texas on the weekend of July 25th, 26th. On July 27th, we'll be in Houston, Texas, showing at the Alamo Drafthouse. We have a pending screening in Dallas that we're trying to iron out. And then we'll be traveling up to Columbus, Ohio, thanks to the Warp Zone and showing the film there, and then heading to Du Bois, PA, which isn't that far from Pittsburgh, to show the film there with our good friends at VGX. And, of course, the world premiere will be in London, Ontario, September 25th at 9 p.m. at the Highland Cinema. And we're also working on a second screening for London as well. And then our screenings round out with the Portland Retro Gaming Expo, and of course in Portland, Oregon, with some potential screenings maybe in Toronto and maybe at MAGFest to still be inked.
Well, guys, I promise you, I will come to the London screening for sure. I'd love to meet you guys. And this...
Right on.
I got to know how this ends, ultimately. So, guys, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedules to come talk to us here on This Week in Geek.
Pleasure doing it, man. It's been awesome to connect. It's always about meeting new gamers and welcoming into the fold. We are not gatekeepers. We just want to rock out and have fun with games.
Thanks a lot, Mike, for having us. I really appreciate it, man.
Well, guys, that was my interview with Jay and Rob. These guys, my God, I can't wait to see what happens with us. I'm really excited. So, guys, you have just a little bit less than 24 hours to pledge to this. An NES game about collecting games. I'm kind of hoping it's like a role-playing game as opposed to a platformer. But hey, who knows? It's still in development. Who knows? But either way, pledge for the love of God. In fact, if someone wants to gift me this, I'm not going to complain. Just putting that out there, guys. Anyway, make sure you are tuning into the site next week. We got more great geek content coming up, including the premiere of Botched Role, which is the role-playing show where I go through all my history with various role-playing games and all the stupid crap that's happened to me along the way. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodson. Live free or die hard. We'll catch you guys again next time right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show.
So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear... somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@ThisWeekInGeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.